This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have to say what I feel. Miami has so much appeal. A great place to get a seafood meal. Miami.
Hey guys, Carrie Doherty and H. Allen Scott here.
Oh, hi.
In lieu of a mini episode, which you guys would usually be getting later in the week, we actually have a full-length, very special treat for you.
It's so special. There's something happening here in Los Angeles that we just couldn't not share with all of you, actually.
Yeah.
We had so much fun talking with them. Carrie and I just got back, actually, from interviewing the cast members of Golden Girls Live. It is at Casita del Campo here in Los Angeles. It's a restaurant slash theater space, and it's fantastic. And it's coming. It's opening tonight, actually. Which this would be Thursday tonight, and it runs all this weekend and then the following weekend as well. And you can go to outonthelanai.com to get tickets and info and all of that.
Yeah, but basically it's a reimagining of classic Golden Girls episodes.
They're focusing on two episodes, Hey Look Me Over and
A Little Romance,
which we covered in our first live episode, actually.
Yes,
which is
did.
Where Rose dates a little person.
Mm-hmm. And it was a great conversation with them. They talk about the show and, you know, they're all Golden Girls fans too, and we had such a fun chat with them and you actually learn a little some behind-the-scenes stuff about the Golden Girls, too.
Yeah, so. And you probably will recognize some of the voices because many of them have been on television and films and also just they're great drag performers, too, that you probably have seen before. So, guys, take a listen to this podcast, and then please go to outonthelanai.com, get your tickets for the shows. Carrie and I will be there.
We will be there, guys.
Elliot Glazer will be there as well.
We're not going to tell you what night we're going to be there because we don't want there to be a mob scene. Just kidding.
There wouldn't be. But tell your friends, if you don't live here in Los Angeles, tell your friends to go to this show because it is going to be fantastic, or buy tickets for some friends and tell them to go to the show. Okay, guys, enjoy our little combo. OMG, Carrie, can you believe we're here?
In a basement.
In a basement theater. It's just like all my dreams have come true. I love it. But we're here for a very special reason because we're interviewing the cast of Golden Girls Still Alive. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think, can we just all applaud for ourselves for being here in this room? Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. So Golden Girls Still Alive is a show that's been happening in Los Angeles for the past couple of years. You first heard of it in New York, right, Carrie?
Yes.
Yeah. And we were so jealous because we couldn't come to it because we were away from New York at the time.
It's a very expensive plane ticket to go see the show.
Especially when you're a comedy writer and you don't make money.
Yeah.
So we were finally able to not only come see the show, but also be here to interview you guys for our listeners on the podcast. We're so, so excited. So just a quick recap of what the show is about. Golden Girls Still Alive basically reimagines episodes from the Golden Girls. The two that they're focusing on are Hey, Look Me Over,
and A Little Romance.
And now we've covered A Little Romance on the podcast.
We actually did that as our first live show.
Yeah, that was our very first live show, which was great. But we haven't gotten to Hey, Look Me Over, because that's in the final season.
Yes,
right.
And that's the one where Rose thinks that Blanche once had an affair with Charlie because of the
exposed film.
Yes,
it was double exposed
film. The photo debacle would never happen to
comedy me. Of errors. And A Little Romance is where Rose dates...
Spoiler alert. We should have, spoiler alert.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, why are you listening to this podcast?
Yes!
Ridiculous.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen the episode from 1993, get on that.
And A Little Romance is where Rose dates a little person, and
Dr.
hilarity...
Jonathan Newman.
Hilarity ensues. So let's go introduce... some of our guests.
All of our guests.
All of our guests. We're going to go down the line here. So if you please say your name and the character you play. So you
Hi, Sherry Vine. I'm playing Blanche Dubois. I mean, Blanche Devereaux.
Are we doing Tennessee Williams?
Tennessee Williams.
Which is a play on Blanche.
I got confused because I was trying to give you a Sherry Vine lady voice, even though we're not in drag. Sherry Vine playing Blanche Devereaux.
Jackie Beat playing Dorothy Zbornak.
Selene Luna playing Dr. Jonathan Newman.
Oh, hi. I'm Drew Droege, and I'm playing Rose Nyland.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
I'm Sam Pancake. I'm playing Sophia Petrillo.
Oh, you guys are just the best. So we're going to go through and ask you, even though you are playing certain characters that, you know, are specific to the show, which one do you actually feel you are as a person? Sam, we'll start with you.
I'm Sam Pancake. There's a lot of Blanche in me. I grew up in West Virginia, which isn't Georgia, but there's a lot of the Southern slut in me for sure. I might have my Dorothy moments too.
Okay.
I don't think I'm Sophia, even though I'm probably the oldest. No, I'm not. So, a lot of Blanche and a little Dorothy.
Drew.
I'm playing Rose, and I have definite Rose moments in my life, but I have a lot of Dorothy in me.
Mm.
I think I am Dorothy. Ultimately, yeah. I'm just always over things and Sandy about things, you know. Yeah.
Selena.
Well, I'm playing Dr. Jonathan Newman, but if I were a golden girl, I would definitely be a Sophia.
Oh.
That's me in real life.
Because you're such a grandma.
I'm the total grandma.
Do you like to cook, too?
I love to cook. Mm-hmm.
Do you like to play cards?
Not so much, but I love games.
Uh-huh.
I love game night. I love living in my pajamas, shuffling around the house with a little vintage handbag. That's me.
Do you like sitting around with your friends and drinking sherry and looking at clouds? Like,
well, I like sitting around with my friends and getting high.
So there's clouds. No clouds.
Uh-huh. Like
we've got a lot of clouds.
Do you like sitting on the boardwalk with black men who have dementia?
Have you ever seen Pat Sajak riding side saddle on a dolphin in a cloud?
That was definitely a meta reference for.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. I'm lost.
Jackie.
Well, I always say that Bea Arthur is my spirit animal. And so I am, I would say I'm about 90% Dorothy and 10% Rose, which might surprise people because I can be like sickeningly positive and, you know, like optimistic.
And very
like,
top heavy.
No, that's true about you. People don't know that about you.
You are a guest in this country.
You're not being a gracious host.
I was going to say, I've known you for 25 years and haven't seen that side.
Put a dog in front of Jackie Beat and she...
Oh, she's Rose.
And I become Betty White.
Yeah, it's true. But Bea Arthur was the same way. She loved animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She always used a condom, though.
I'm definitely Blanche.
Sorry.
You were right there and then just down
a little bit.
Yeah. Sherry, who would you be?
Oh, I'm definitely Blanche. There was no question about that. Yeah. My parents are from the South and I'm a slut.
Seriously? I know a lot of sluts and Sherry is just off the charts.
Sherry, who are you? I don't think I've ever asked you who you are.
We've asked
you. Oh, yeah,
you about
I'm
before.
Rose. I know I'm Rose. Mm-hmm. Oh. Definitely Rose.
I have a hard time. I feel like I'm part... I definitely have a lot of Sophia in me because I do like to cook and... But then I don't have her, like, zero filter. I really care about what people think of me. So I would have a hard time, like, calling somebody
clearly
a
you didn't grow up gay.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't... Yeah.
Are you
I
leaking clam sauce?
I might be leaking a little clam sauce in my wicker handbag out back.
So, Jackie, you've produced the show over the years, correct?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go with you, Jackie. Tell us the history of the show. What, when, how did it become? How?
Well, it's only a year old. We've only been doing it for a year.
Okay.
So this is our third iteration. I'm sorry, I'm not Jackie Beat.
You're Drip.
Talk to you. Hi. But yeah, but Jackie put this idea together with Sherry.
Well, some ideas.
I remember exactly how it happened.
How did it start?
Okay.
Sherry. We were bitching and moaning about how there's not a lot of work left for us in the United States because of Drag Race. They only want to hire Drag Race girls.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, well, we should do something completely stupid like, hey, let's do the Golden Girls. Okay, let's do it. That's exactly the conversation.
And also,
I live in New York?
No. I live in New York and she lives in LA. Okay. I was probably on the phone.
Yeah. But I also was saying, okay, you know, because, you know, Drag Race really honestly has changed everything. And, you know, I joke in my act that there are 90 losers and I'm like, I'm not even being mean. They're fucking losers. They didn't win, you know. But, you know, everybody wants to see them because, you know, I've seen you on TV and let's take a selfie. But so I was saying to Sherry, we really need to focus on what we do that's so different. And we're theater queens. Back you know, to
theater.
We've
They're
done
both amazing singers is the point. They're alive
well,
singers.
Back to
lip
theater.
Sync.
Less Katy Perry and more Carol Burnett.
There and you're you also, go. Yeah, you're actors as opposed to just personalities that are just going to get up there and be like sassy. But it's like there's actually like a character underneath the eyelashes and the lip.
Yeah, it's not just a wig and lip syncing.
Right.
There's something beyond that.
Mm-hmm. That brings up a question Carrie had that in the car we were talking about is, on what level are you guys playing, you know, exact replicas of the characters, and where are you bringing in your own sort of talent, personality, shtick into it?
Everyone's different.
Sherry?
Yeah.
Well, I actually start from a method kind of play. Like, I watch the episode a million times and try to get the little movements and inflections and stuff, but then I think after opening night, I kind of let it go a little bit and let it be a little freer.
Yeah.
But I pretty much like to stick to the script.
Does it evolve, too, when you're on stage if you, you know, have watched it and you're like, okay, I'm going to really try to sort of, you know, like mimic each gesture that they're making, but then you find maybe one night you do something, a different gesture.
Yeah.
You,
it's a different look, it's ultimately, it's a drag show.
Yeah.
Right? So.
True.
Sure. I found out as which I didn't realize, and you guys probably know this because you've watched the show a lot more than I have, but I didn't realize that Rose is the straight man on the show. Rose, everybody else makes the jokes. Rose is the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember when we first started doing this, I felt really bad after the first night that I didn't get a lot of laughs. But I was like, oh, no, Rose is the laugh. Like, people get laughs
well,
at her expense.
Well, you're not funny.
Well, there's that. Not funny. But then I realized that, that the spot, the position that Rose plays is she's actually the straight man on the show, if there is one. And so that has
she's
been,
also the heart, mostly, too.
She is. And, but, she tells these ridiculous stories. But I also was like, every time I tried to get a laugh where it wasn't built in, it was a huge mistake. It was like, you realize that it's brilliant writing. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what they're doing with each character and each phrase and each thing, you know, and word choice and stuff. And so, like, you know, like, that's, you know, you kind of have to
Jackie,
follow the master.
You played Dorothy, B. Arthur, and that's, like, the ultimate of personalities, really. So how much of your personality as Jackie Beat do you bring into as Dorothy?
Well, I always say you have to give people what they think they remember, because if you know, she didn't really talk like this, but that's what people respond to.
Right. Yeah.
And there's so many times where B. Arthur seems to run out of breath, and that always gets a huge laugh when I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, I couldn't even think of a line because I don't ever learn my lines. So I think the reason it works, not to answer for everyone, is because I think Sherry and I do it a little closer to the way it's done on the show, and then Drew and Sam are sort of like, oh my God, it's like Golden Girls on acid. So if you love the Golden Girls, you're going to like that part of it. And if you like, maybe you're, you know, being dragged here with a friend and you know, you're not that familiar with the Golden Girls, it works on many levels.
What's your approach, Sam, to Sophia? Well, the thing is, when we first, like, I've also done Blanche, when we do the mismatch game, I would do Rue McClanahan, so it was really fun for me. But of course, I'm not a beauty queen, like Dame Sherry. No, but like, they were going to do that, and he was like, what do you want to be? And I'm like, I'd love to be Sophia. And then I watched it, and I realized she doesn't do anything. Everything's the same, and I can't even do her voice, and I'm not a mimic by any means. So I do take a lot more license, and I feel like Sherry and Jackie are doing such great, almost impersonations with their own twist, but it's really Rue and Dorothy.
But I think it's now found a... Because I remember after the first night, the first time we did it, I said to Jackie, I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it too much like an impersonation. It is a drag show. It's in the basement of this thing. Everyone knows the line. Just like let it go. And then I think I kind of...
But also, you're so good, though, things like we, not this go-round, but we did the lesbian episode, and like that, lesbian. Sherry did it, so it has to be on the nose.
It has to be.
There are iconic
lines. Also, it's like, you know, for us, like, I mean, like, I'm not, and I am a horrible impressionist, and it's like, even though I play a lot of celebrities, and everything I do is like a weird, cracked version.
I'm going to pause over there for 1 second, because Drew, just so you guys listening at home know, is Drew famously plays Chloe Sevigny in a series of videos.
But it's not an impression.
It's not an exact impression, but that's what you guys have seen him before.
I always think, I like to play characters from how, the way I imagine that their soul sounds like. Like, I'm sort of like, I think this is what they...
Soul whisper.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, I think that's what that is. And it's just more fun for me than trying to do an impression. Also, Betty White on The Golden Girls is so real. And she's actually... I'm actually doing more Betty White now, like Betty White on Hot in Cleveland, where she, you know, and she's, it's a, and mixed with like a really weird, it's just like mannerisms that I picked up from Betty White now. But if you actually go back and watch Betty White, she's really hard to imitate because she's just really pure and innocent and sweet.
In terms of
you know, she's not as iconic vocally or physically as the others. And so you just find your, and then I think, yes, I think as we've done it, we've all four found a common rhythm with each other that we kind of know that this is how it's going to play. And it's made it really fun.
Tell us a little bit about how, what this year's show is going to be like, or what this show is going to be like. That's coming up on Friday. What's Friday?
Thursday. Oh, I barely work here. What's the show going to be like? I don't know.
You're joining us for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, you played Dr. Jonathan Newman. So
I do. I mean, the show
character.
Is going to be hilarious. It's hysterical. And, I mean, coming from an audience perspective, because I was in the audience in the last run, I was cracking up on the floor the entire time. I don't know if I should say this. Well, what's hysterical to me is that it's all verbatim, you know, exactly like the TV show.
Sort of. Reimagined.
It's a reimagined verbatimism.
Can you edit me out? For verbatim for what we remember.
For Fantasia.
Yeah. No, it's really just a good time. It's really just a great drag show.
Yeah.
It's a great drag show, and that's really what it comes down to. It's really clever comedy, and I just love it. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
And people talk about that it's very nostalgic for them, because it's like they bring... It works on several levels. It's like they just... They love the show so much.
They know the lines. They know the song.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. P.S. Outfits.
The outfits.
Oh. Yeah, so let's talk about the outfits real quick. Who is in charge of costuming?
Jacqueline Beats.
Well, I am a thrift store addict.
Whore.
So I am at thrift stores all the time. And, the only thing better than buying stuff for yourself is like having, you know, three other characters and three other sizes. I'm like, I could never wear this, but, you know, that skinny slut could.
A month ago, she texted me. She's like, don't buy anything.
What's in store? What are the outfits like this year?
They are outrageous. Mm-hmm. I have triple shoulder pads. I mean, my thing with Dorothy is it's very Vulcan tunic, Planet of the Apes adjacent. There's no...
A lot of autumn. So many layers.
And no... It's all just very...
Shapeless
just
layers.
And long, very shapeless.
I would wear everything Dorothy wore on the show. Mm-hmm.
And the last time we did it...
How many layers did your first costume have?
Oh, it was like 7. Seriously.
Yeah.
But, and there was one where I wore these like avocado colored culottes.
Uh-huh.
And there was 3 inches of leg and then the flat scrunchy gray boots. And it was just, it's all about that spacing. She,
uh-huh.
Like everything has like weird, like I'm going to show the boot.
Yeah.
Like I'm wearing a boot, so I'm going to show the boot. I don't want the pants to go all the way to the floor. Anyway, really.
You have a good splash boot, you show it off.
Yeah. So we have a lot of amazing things. And
except for me, I get to wear really, you know, simple Sophia stuff, which is actually one of the reasons I love playing Sophia is like no makeup except for like eyebrow pencil lines on my face and glasses and wig. And it's just like
flats.
And how's your posture?
Well, I remember when we first talked about doing it, I had this idea stupid idea, as if I had never been on stage before. Don't say it. Where I was like, I'll do her on my knees and put shoes here and shuffle around. They were all like,
tiptoes?
Yeah, and they're like, well, wait, that's going to be stupid.
Dwarf?
So I kind of bent over. What, are you offended, Selene?
No, but Jackie was gesturing that I was offended. And I was like, no, I'm not. I don't get it.
But that's the world we live in now. You're supposed to, like, fight for people who aren't asking for you to fight for them. You know.
True.
Yeah.
So, but I hunched over a little bit, and, like, I thought, this isn't going to work. But it's just, like, they're all three very tall anyway. They're all wearing heels for the most part. So and I'm always wearing flats or just basically those white lady tennis shoes. White tennis shoe, like, you know what I'm saying, white. Good night, everyone.
Goodbye. Your natural osteoporosis just adds to the character.
My dowager's hump is coming in nicely.
The past few versions of this show have been sold out, right?
Yes.
Totally sold out. So what kind of reaction have you had from people who've come to the show? I mean, obviously, they're huge fans.
We get a lot of sex out of it.
Rock star.
Actually an orgy, right?
Golden Girls groupies.
Have you guys seen the Golden Girls porn?
Wrinkle chasers.
It exists.
No.
That's horrible.
None of them are the age of the girls. They're all, like, younger women. But there is Golden Girls porn that a friend of mine sent me, and I was very disturbed by.
How does the set look?
It's similar, but brighter. And more like, you know, dry,
Please tell me cheesecake is involved.
I don't remember cheesecake in it, actually.
Oh, my God.
Is it like a bunch of young chicks?
Dressed like older women.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like cougars?
And they have, like, wigs on, and they're all
wigs!
Yeah.
Oh, gross. Horrible.
Well, people love it. And there's a part of me, because, no, Sherry and I, you know, we're like, we've been doing this over 20 years. Okay, 25 years. And it's like, it makes me happy, but there's a part of me that's like, we have to do this, like, you know, sitcom. It just seems a little hacky at times. Listen, it is a guilty pleasure. People come, they love it. Why overthink it?
And it's so fun to do. I mean, it's just fun.
The writers have come.
All the writers of the last ones came. The flu and the lesbian episode, those writers came, and they were ecstatic. They loved it. They were super supportive. We also do the commercial breaks when we're changing. We do 80s commercials, too. Mm-hmm. They're really fun.
Oh, wow.
One thing I do want to mention is totally corny of me to admit, but I love that it's good, clean fun.
Yeah.
It's just good, clean fun. There's no cursing. There's no, like, dick jokes.
Kids have come.
Well, they're layered in
They're not using the word dick.
Yeah. It's just not outright.
The innuendo is very heavy. We've had kids come who know it anyway. And my 13-year-old nephew is coming this time, and I do very few things that my nieces and nephews can see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's great.
Well, and it works in that way. It's actually sophisticated. And that, you know, when you're thinking, like, in the basement of a Mexican restaurant, drag theater, you're expecting just the raunchiest, you know, and that stuff is really great, but it's like, it is refreshing to do stuff, and, you know, that's where you are, like, you know, it's pure.
So, why do you think, like...
I did say refreshing. It's refreshing.
It's as refreshing as one of the margaritas you can get upstairs. Or to pronounce it like B. Arthur would, a margarita.
Margarita. Nobody else says her name like that in the episode. She says the name Marguerite,
and then there's one where she talks about drinking a margarita.
What? That's just incorrect.
And my other favorite thing is the way she wipes her mouth with a napkin. It's like... She does the corners of her mouth like, oh, you know what? I really feel for the makeup artist. I'm not going to ruin my lips.
Very Lucy thing to do, too.
It's old school theater.
Also, she says in this episode, au revoir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Blanche, let's go get the au revoir.
Let's go get the au revoir. Excuse us.
I'm sorry. And I think this is leading into the next question that you're going to ask, but one...
Are we gay?
No. Oh, God, let's not talk about
this. This is over!
Uncomfortable!
Everybody go around the room and say how many people you slept with.
Oh, God.
If you're a virgin, it's fine, this isn't about me. but the greatest thing about the Golden Girls is that, you know, this was a show that aired in the 80s and then, you know, into the 90s, and then here we are, 2015, and people are still just as excited about it now as they were then, and it's also finding... You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of our guests, we watched it when we were kids, we rediscovered it in college, we're adults, we still love it. What do you guys think it is about the Golden Girls that just it remains so fresh and so interesting and so fun and exciting and sort of?
Well, I was too young in the 80s when it was on.
Oh,
so
I think it's obvious.
What are you, discovered like, 22?
It on DVD. I think it's obvious. Tits. sorry. No. Well, first of all, it's four archetypes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You. Even though they throw you for a loop and occasionally, you know, Rose is like, get the damn bear back, you know, or, oh, bear back. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Ah, I'm so upset ever since you mentioned the Golden Girls porn because I want a piece of that empire. No, I think there's four archetypes, you know, and you always know that you're going to get a sassy little one-liner from Sophia. You're going to get, you know...
A stupid story from Rose.
Right. And then, you know, Owl Eyebrows over here is going to, you know, say something really, you know, dry and, you know, then glare at somebody. And then you got the, you know, the slut.
Yeah.
You can even tell, like you say, you've been watching them all and you can tell that right away into the first season, they're like, oh, okay, she's the slut. And they really, like, blew that up and they blew up this about St. Olaf stories. The first season, there aren't that many.
Yeah.
And then they start coming in every episode.
Oh, yeah. They come on strong.
Picture it, 1929.
And you're watching them in order. Things. It's like another Rose story.
We've gotten to a point where we just like...
Try learning those lines. Try learning those lines. And saying them over and over again. And when you're there, you know, it just, there's this moment like, Cyril Mountbatten. You know, those names. And there's just this crazy, just the, like, that.
I mean, just
my one day as a mountain
rangerette.
Like, her story, her backstory. Like, what? Like, crazy.
Well, that's the thing about Rose stories that I feel like, you know, again, we'll watch like two or three episodes a week, is that it just starts to feel like it's just like a Scrabble game. They just like threw a bunch of words on the table and they just play Mad Libs with Rose now, and they just take words like herring like weird things, and my uncle did this and all these
the
weird
the cow that
she's so naive, yet she's lived so many lives.
She's
done so many things.
Speaking of, we have a listener, a really great listener and photographer, Philip Campbell, who's putting together a Blanche's Men, basically, like a
black
which
calendar.
Is gonna be the most epic thing.
Well, you've seen her Christmas cards.
Yes. I mean, it's too much. I was gonna say, answering that earlier question, that I think it's also because it's genuinely really funny still, like how I Love Lucy holds up. But now, lately, as I look back, having been a very small child myself in the 80s, like, the colors and the outfits, because then it was just like, that's the 80s.
Yeah. Right,
I was an adult then. But now it's just like, oh my Christ, like, what they're wearing and just, it's, you know, delicious.
I also think this kind of a subtle, but it's also like, to me, the original Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's got like, you know, the Cosmopolitan is the cheesecake.
Mold. Yeah.
You know, the girls, it always ends up the same at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We even haven't done an ep yet with actual cheesecake, and that pisses me off.
I know, we haven't.
Love cheesecake.
We've yet to do an episode where I've said St. Olaf.
Oh.
Weirdly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
No. So, at the end of every podcast, we do a golden takeaway. It's sort of a nugget of inspiration or a life lesson from the episode, or in this case, episodes, that you can either apply to your life or to the listeners' lives and give a piece of advice to the listeners, or whatever for yourself. We usually, Carrie and I usually start, but because you guys are the guests, I'll give you a tip. So, A Little Romance. My golden takeaway from A Little Romance is... if you're gonna only want to date Jews, you should only date Jews.
Yeah.
Yes.
You shouldn't start something with someone and then say at the end, oh, well, I knew this all along because, you know, I'm uncut.
It's like a crying game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's a golden takeaway. It's a life lesson.
Yes.
So
be fair,
yes.
It's like, you know, when you're doing a script, it's like, okay, 22 minutes later, we got to get rid of this little guy because he can't join the guest.
Yeah.
So.
Although it doesn't matter because some of the women just, they get married. And then, you know, people disappear all the time.
Yeah. A lot of people are named Artie.
Yeah.
Or Arnie.
Arnie, all of them. They're all coming. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go down the line. If you would also tell people where they can follow you online, too.
Okay, well, I'm on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Miss Sherry Vine, YouTube, Miss Sherry Vine, sherryvine.com. Craigslist, usually around midnight. I don't know. I guess my takeaway is if you're going to be a slut and you're going to keep records of it, make sure you have enough gold stars.
Sure. Can I say I'm very much looking forward in the show to seeing how you deal with the shrimp
portion, which is, to me, the best. I have no idea.
One of Blanche's like greatest moments of the entire series. That turn back into the kitchen.
Jackie, where can people follow you?
People can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Jackie, you know, just at Jackie Beat. My website is missjackiebeat.com. And my takeaway, here's the thing that it says General B. Arthur, Dorothy's Bornack, is sometimes the most matter-of-fact, seemingly cold people are actually the warmest and have the most common sense. And I love the episode where she admits that she loves dogs. It gets me every time. It really does. B. Arthur can actually make me cry in The Golden Girls.
Definitely.
Yeah, she's so anyway, I cannot.
Yeah. Or when she's like reasoning with the rat.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh,
well, see, we did the episode where Rose's mom comes to visit, and there's that moment where the Sophia and Dorothy have together.
Yes,
where it's so real, and Dorothy B really, really just touches you so, so raw.
She's
in that
got
moment.
The feeling.
Yeah.
Well, we also found out from the writer that that's the week that her mother died.
Yes, that scene. And you see it, and it's chilling, and it's just, but it's just, it's just,
oh god, my,
she's so vulnerable.
Heart.
Beautiful.
And she went ahead and did it. It was like, you don't have to do this. She's like, I want to do it.
That's
wow. Selena, what's your takeaway, and where can people follow you?
Selena. Well, we already covered my takeaway. Find out if you're dating a Jew or not before you go out with him. That's my takeaway. And, you can find me at SeleneLuna.com. I'm all over the place, but maybe go to my Instagram. That might be best. Instagram, SeleneLuna. Mm. Google me. Google me.
Drew?
Hi. You can find me on Hello.
Oh.
Hi, it's been a long morning. I'm on Twitter at Drew Droege. I'm on the Facebook. Please visit my IMDb page because my star meter is really falling down. So that'd be cool.
Can we get in there and edit your bio? Just
please do. Can you take some of my credits away? Because I've got some crap on there that I don't really need to have forever.
Like Golden Girls Live.
Can you erase that from my memory? My golden takeaway for Rose is let Charlie die. Let him be dead. She is so obsessed with Charlie. And Rose is a young, vibrant woman. I mean, my God, this who would have known 30 years later Betty White is still alive and kicking and working harder than ever. Mm-hmm. So you have this rich, full life ahead of you, Betty, Rose. Go out there and live a little and we know you love Charlie, but you're better than Charlie. Yeah.
But wait, can I add a little something?
Please.
Like as we've learned, as we've learned in at least two or three episodes, Charlie was hung like a horse. So I'm just saying, honey, she was spoiled and she can't.
She's like sex in the morning. They had sex in the afternoon.
I've never done that once in my life.
What?
Sex in the morning.
Oh, really?
Sex in the afternoon. Sex in the
should have met my uncle.
With different people.
You need a Charlie.
I need a Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Sam, what's your takeaway?
My Instagram is TheSamPancake. That's all one word. And on Twitter, I'm JSamPancake. I think for this one, it's when Sophia says to Dorothy about the hearing aid. It's like not the getting a hearing aid makes you old. It's what you're becoming by not getting one or whatever. I guess you think I know my lines because we open in 2 days. So it's like that. It's like help yourself move along. It's just like when you start to shut down and be afraid and insecure, and that's when you get old and, you know, instead of like living and, you know, get the hearing aid, get the facelift. God knows I am. And the minute I need to, don't say it. I need to.
But there's a lot of episodes where Sophia really has to, like, you know, kick somebody in the rear end about not being, fearful.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, like when Dorothy, you know, they want to, like, just look at, they go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And they're just looking at, like old home movies and pictures in an album, and she's like, I want to ride Space Mountain, you know? And it's Sophia is the one who is, just has a lust for life. And
she's always doing things. There's always, she's always all like, out gambling or out shopping by herself or like going to Disneyland.
Well, they did a whole episode where her day just sounds like she goes out and gets a peach and comes back.
Oh, nectarine.
Nectarine. I bought a nectarine.
And she doesn't even brag about it. They're just like, how was your day? She's like, oh, it was fine. You know, I got my nectarine. And then, you know?
And they sort of look at each other like, oh, that's so sad.
Well, she's also secretive and awful, so that's a part of it, too.
Well, she's, you know, she's the, she's very similar to Louis De Palma.
The
Danny DeVito character on Taxi, which is one of my all-time favorite characters, because occasionally they would have him have this moment of breakthrough where he was warm and wonderful and gave a speech, and you're just like, oh my God. And then the woman he's talking to gets up to walk away and he grabs her ass. It's like nothing changes. He's still the same person.
Is that why you grab my ass so much?
Well, you want to keep...
he always says Taxi when he does it. Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the podcast. You guys, you need to, if you're in Los Angeles, you should see this show. It opens on Thursday. What is that date?
Not the 13th.
The 13th. And it runs for 2 weekends, correct? So there's 16 shows?
Yes.
16 shows.
The 16th and 20th through the 23rd, 2 shows a night. 8 and 10 Thursday through Saturday, and 7 and 9 on Sunday. And
you
work it, mama.
And that's why I grab your ass.
We will post the link to the ticketing for the show. If you're not in Los Angeles, you should share that link on your Facebook and Twitter and everything, and tell
your friends
in Los Angeles to come to the show, because Carrie and I will be here. Elliot Glazer, frequent guest on the podcast, will also be here.
Oh, good.
And it's going to be a great
and get your tickets ahead of time, guys, because they sell out. So don't be like, I'll get them at the door. That's always the worst thing. And then you show up and they're like, it's sold out. And then you hate yourself and buy, you spend a lot of time being
and there. Hey, if you're not in Los Angeles, how about you buy like 3 tickets and then give them to 3 people you know in Los Angeles, because you know you're not calling them enough.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, I like your style.
Guys, thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thank you
very much. Thank you for being a friend.
I'm sure no one has said that before.
I'm not 10 by the miles, Miami.